I started a TV show, which is Business and Lifestyle, really highlighting CEOs, male, female, those in the workplace who are leading the way for others and what their businesses are like, what their opportunities have been like for them, what success means to them. What is that intersection between business and life for them? How did they get where they are?
You're listening to the Woman of Value podcast. You are about to hear the story of a woman who is following her dreams and passions and creating positive change in the world. My guest today is Christy K. Hoffman. She has dedicated her life to the advancement of women and paved the way for women across leadership, philanthropy, business, and healthy lifestyle platforms. She's recognized as an ambassador for women through her dedication, her personal achievements, and her service through mentorship, philanthropy, and business. What makes her unique is her ability to help people around her find fulfillment at the intersection of business and life. Welcome to the podcast, Christy.
Hello, it's great to be with you.
We always start with, what does a woman of value mean to you?
Love the question, very loaded. I feel like women of value, first of all, I can spot them when I see them. And I don't know exactly what it is, but I think what I recognize most is women of value know their core principles of what they stand for. They know themselves. They know that when they show up in a room, who they are and what they believe in, whether that is compassion and kindness towards others and an intention to really do the right thing in those moments, particularly when no one is looking. So I think for me, that is really a lot of what women of value offer and look like, if you will.
I love that you say you can spot her when you see her. It's really true. You can feel somebody who's living into their core principles, their core values. And especially I love that you said she does the right thing when no one is looking, because it's easy to do the right thing when people are looking or when you are on social media and you want people to see you in a certain way. But what do you do when you're in the privacy of your own home, when nobody sees you? Are you doing the things that align with your integrity? Let's go to your aha woman of value moment, that moment or moments when you started to really discover your own value and live into your core principles.
Great question. I think for me, you know, that vulnerable time in our lives that's around, let's say, high school, heading off potentially to college and trying to figure out who am I and what am I doing? And, you know, as my son once said to me, how am I supposed to be expected to pick a major? I'm 18 years old. I don't know what I want to do with the rest of my life. And I think that's kind of like I did the process of elimination thing as I was selecting my major in college and ended up doing broadcasting and communications, but also completing 4 years of college and realizing, you know, I think there's more to me than meets the eye. I need to go do more, be more, grow more, find out who I am. I just had that sort of inner drive and that feeling that I needed to go test the waters on who I am and be a little more adventurous. So I decided from my home state of Ohio that I would move and apply to graduate school and ended up in Boston. I had never been to Boston. I had never seen the city. I'd never been in a city by myself that large. And I decided I'm going to move by myself. I'm going to get the experience. I'm going to learn who I am. Turned out to be the best experience of my life, for better or for worse. I mean, really, there were challenges. I learned about myself that I never would have had I not taken that leap and moved and really realized I needed to do more for myself and grow.
So what kinds of things did you do? I mean, it's not an easy thing to get up and move, especially at that young age, and realize, okay, I finished college. Most people at this stage in life are taking that safe job and ending up miserable often. And it was like, how did I get into this? But you had the courage to say, okay, there's more to life. I'm going to do something completely out of my comfort zone, move someplace totally away from where I grew up and start discovering who I am. Yeah. So what did that process look like?
You know, it was kind of like that blind courage that I had, though I thought, you know, I can do this. I've always had these mantras, and I to this day have mantras where I play them in my mind and I'll say, it might be as simple as just, you can do this, or you've got this, but I would play that mantra in my mind and in my, in my, you know, my actions, and just say, you've got this. So I really started out with some of those things that were a bit more concrete, as in the program I was going to sign up for in terms of my graduate school. And then from there, I just took it as it came. I tried very hard not to get ahead of myself when I was embarking upon whether it was a college internship or a grad school internship or a job or new friendships, new organizations. But I learned so many things about myself. It was really a self-exploration and a self-knowledge, and then ultimately a self-confidence that I gained from living alone, making decisions by myself, understanding my budget, understanding independent living, being a female who can use her voice. And those are the kinds of things. That's kind of what that path looked like. Was it easy? No. But I think the opportunity that I gave myself, if you will, to put myself in an environment where I wasn't comfortable was the best thing I could have done for personal growth.
I love that you did that. And I agree with you. Doing the hard things and even failing, falling, not always getting it right, but picking yourself back up are really the path to confidence, to growing as a person. And it's something, you know, as a parent, I have three grown kids, and one of the hardest things is watching your kids fall down and knowing that confidence really is built by them trying things and doing the same thing. So you have, you mentioned you have a son. Do you have other kids, or is he your only child?
Two sons.
Okay. And so did you parent in the same way as you took yourself on this adventure?
What a good question that is. I would like to think I did my best to do so. And I think as young adults now, they would say that I did really push them to go out of their comfort zone on many occasions. And I think to me, letting them fail as a mom has been very difficult for me, but knowing full well, again, back to that self-talk, those mantras, my kids really, they're really confident in going for things that they haven't done before. So I think in that regard, I've been able to get that message across and really try things. To me, that's been the messaging all along. And I think from what I've seen, they're pretty incredible at doing that.
That's wonderful. Yeah, we can't always get it perfectly right with our kids. I mean, that's part of, that's part of, you know, life, I think, that it's important for them to experience that too. So take us to the present. So you know, this was back in post-college, grad school. Where are you now with your life, with work? Give us some context.
Having worked in corporate America for about 20 some years now, I then made the switch to going into the media, or back to my undergraduate major in broadcasting. And I started a TV show, which is Business and Lifestyle, really highlighting CEOs, male, female, those in the workplace who are leading the way for others, and what their businesses are like, what their opportunities have been like for them, what success means to them. What is that intersection between business and life for them? How did they get where they are? And so I've been able to do this fabulous television show working with PBS and PBS affiliates to make sure that the message is clear about leadership, about entrepreneurship, about really pushing your way and setting goals for yourself in the business world, but then also how that transfers into life. And so I'm doing the television show and a podcast. And as a woman in the media, that also presents very interesting challenges as it ties to issues that kind of age-old issues with women, whether that is body image or confidence, leadership in a field that that is a challenge sometimes.
I can imagine. I mean, being in front of a camera all the time and getting older, like most people who are in media are still youthful. There are very few, I think, women in particular who really stay relevant as they age. I mean, you're beautiful, and I'm sure that that goes a long way to having people want to keep you in front of a camera. But do you worry, like what in particular do you struggle with in terms of body image and other issues?
I don't struggle with the physicality. I think what I do is I try to be my best self all of the time. And I, a long time ago, realized that I look like what I look like. And will I spend time putting makeup on? Will I spend time doing my hair before I go on camera? Of course I will. But I also recognize that if a viewer calls in with concerns about what my hair looks like that day, that's okay. I, you know, so many bigger fish to fry, as they say. And so I think I'm very comfortable with who I am in my own skin. I think for me, the biggest challenge is making sure that I write a good television show, that I present a good interview in terms of the goal of quality content, something our viewers didn't already know, and really focusing on that. I spend very little time. I spend, in terms of the word, you know, we talk about women and beauty. I find that falls flat with me, and that I really don't have a lot of time that I spend on that particular topic. I think I spend it more on, did that person provide value for me? And I personally just try to live that as well.
Those are important things to focus on. Your hair is absolutely not a character trait.
It's a good thing too. And, you know, honestly, it's been funny through the years, you know, decades of being on air, and you realize I've had years where people have said things about whether it's my hair, my legs, the shirt I'm wearing, the way I speak, the intonation, you name it, I've probably heard it. And it might even be sort of a criticism of the color of the shirt I'm wearing or something like that. And so through the years, I feel like I've kind of heard it all, seen it all, know the drill. And so for me, I just keep going back to being the best, smartest writer, journalist, host, producer that I can possibly be.
Fantastic. I think that when you are public, you are definitely going to hear feedback. And one of the keys is learning how to discern what is valuable feedback from what is just somebody having a bad day and taking it out on you. So how do you, because some of it is valuable, like when it comes to how somebody perceived your message or something like that. How do you discern between valuable feedback and feedback you just don't want to even look at?
Goes back to personal goals and business goals that I've set for myself and really focusing on the end game. And the end game is the quality production. And if for some reason there's something that's getting in the way of that, and I'm continually receiving feedback that is negative or perhaps is constructive, I absolutely take that to heart and will incorporate whatever I can. So how do I discern it? I think I do definitely separate comments about the physicality from comments of content and intellect and, you know, sort of my craft of producing a quality production, a quality podcast, a quality show, a quality article I'm writing, whatever it may be.
That makes sense. And you mentioned before we recorded that you are also doing some work with young women, and you have a book out also geared to young women, Total Package Girl, Discover the Ultimate You for Life. Tell us a little bit about that.
My book was a labor of love. You know, I started volunteering for organizations and specifically the Girl Scouts, and ultimately Girl Scouts of the USA as I got older. But sort of a local Girl Scout art fair was occurring when I was really young. I was probably in my late teens. And I was watching these young girls displaying art, and I saw the confidence in their eyes. And I just saw how really proud of themselves and what they had done they were. And I thought, give me some of that. I really like that. And then conversely, I was volunteering for some other organizations, and those girls just didn't have that confidence. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great to impact girls in a positive way and help them to feel really good about themselves? And so I volunteered for lots of years, decades, I still do, for girl organizations and youth organizations. And I just felt really strongly, also having seen bullying becoming a big issue in social media, I felt really strongly that writing a book for girls ages 11 to 17 to help them develop self-confidence, leadership skills, to combat some of those negative or toxic words that come into their lives, writing that book to really help them and maybe be a bit of a toolkit for them would be great. Every time I would go and speak to these girl organizations or volunteer, I would think, wish I had a book or a handout or something that I could give them that they could really use to feel not only that they're good enough, but that they're great just as they are. So that's how it all started. And it took about 3.5 years to write the book. And then it became the gift that just keeps on giving, where I have traveled the country and spoken to large groups of girls, and just really teaching them about how great they really are.
Well, I absolutely love that you wrote this book, that you volunteer for young girls. And it's just such critical work. I have an 8-year-old granddaughter who has already started talking about bodies and her thighs being too fat. You know, just it kills me, you know, at 8, that she hears this from classmates or whatever. I mean, she's absolutely beautiful. She does gymnastics, and so she has a very athletic body. And when my daughter told me that she mentioned that about her thighs in this new pair of tights that were patterned, and she was like, it makes my legs look fat. And I'm like, oh my God, gotta work with this girl. She's still malleable.
You know, it's true. And what you're saying resonates with me because of the research done specifically by Girl Scouts Leadership Institute, discussing how by the age of 10, girls think that they are not quote unquote good enough, or they think they're too fat and they want to go on a diet and they don't feel like they are adequate. And that is scary. And where does that come from? I mean, I can venture to say social media doesn't help. But I also think that we as women need to really put our best foot forward. We need to empower our girls to know that exactly how they show up every time they go into a room or a classroom or an event or an activity is not only good enough, but great enough. And who they are, whether it's their thighs, their hair, their whatever it may be that they're perceiving as a weakness, that's actually a strength. And that's what helps them to be set apart from others. And that's a good thing. That makes them who they are.
As a mom, I was very careful not to ever talk about weight or body, anything, appearance. It was never the focus. I also didn't focus on you have to be a straight A student with any of my kids. I have 2 girls and a boy. And because I knew what values I wanted to teach my kids. And I know that her mom, this 8-year-old's mom, tries very hard not to talk about anything regarding her own body. But you know, you can't escape it. It's what's out there. And so really reinforcing these important lessons, both in young people and also in older people. I mean, I remember the first workshop I ever taught in dating, and the women, I asked them, what are some unique traits that you're proud of? And they really couldn't answer. In the beginning of the class, it was like, I don't know, people tell me I have nice hair. You know, it really just seeps into every part of our lives if we don't start focusing away from who are we as people, away from the physical, those things that really don't matter.
Your point is so valid in terms of self-knowledge. And I think that's one thing I would like readers of my book, Total Package Girl, to really think about is, how early in our lives can we help our daughters, for example, and even ourselves for that matter? How can we begin to know who we are, what we stand for, not only what our values are, what we like, what we appreciate, who we are, just knowing who we are from where we came and being proud of that. We put so many labels and so much judgment on certain things, on what people look like, on where they're from, on what their family life is like. Okay, so let's understand what we look like, what our family life is like, where we're from, acknowledge it, love it, and know that that's who we are and be proud of that. And I think sometimes when we don't know ourselves, especially as young girls, when we don't know ourselves, or maybe we don't accept who we are, or maybe we think we're not good enough, as some of those surveys show, it's just really a shifting of that perspective and saying, you know, actually, that's the best part of you. That's the part that when you show up, we love that about you. And so I think that reinforcement and really shifting that mindset so that we understand that how we show up, what we look like, what we were born with is actually the best part of us. Mm-hmm. And it's a message that's really tough, I think, for girls to understand with a lot of the preteen and teen pressures in particular at that age group. And it can, if we don't really develop that confidence at a young age, that can play out in the corporate world, as you and I both probably have seen, whether it's how you treat your coworkers, what kind of a boss you are. Are you a mentor to others in the workplace? But all those things, really, those seeds that we plant when we're young of confidence and feeling good about ourselves and knowing ourselves really play out in a positive way as we get older in the workplace, in our friendships, in our relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like how you talk about the intersection of both business and life, because often what we do in one place, we do in other places. And if we start to improve one area, it reflects in others. And I have seen, just based on what you were just talking about with young girls, I have a client who's widowed, who finds it difficult to talk about the reason why she didn't date much during the time where her kids were growing up. She had lost her husband when her kids were very young. And she had some shame around the fact that she was a stay-at-home mom. And I said, you know, that's your superpower. That's the fact that she also had lost her mom at a young age. So she knows the importance of having a mother, of being a good mother, of being able to be there for them, be a guide for them. You don't get a second chance. And that was important to her. So own it, right? It's like we need to own the choices that we make and realize that we made them based on values that were important to us, and mm-hmm. make it your superpower instead of something you're ashamed of.
Very true. And that's part of self-acceptance, right? I mean, that's really part of saying that's from where I came. That was my situation. I made the best possible decision at the time I was going through that. That was what felt right. I trust that. Developing self-trust is really important. And I think from there, we go on and we can say, I accept that. And then I can feel confident being able to take action maybe differently than I did in the past, because I've developed sort of that sense of, I'm really proud of where I came from. And then we can move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about the future. What is in store for you? What are your dreams for the future, Christy?
One of the things first of all, I love you asked that question. And I think for me, one of the things in my world that's really important is helping people find success by their own definitions. And what I mean by that is we spend so much time in our lives really worrying about what other people think growing up, and those labels and those expectations and things of that nature, and really saying, you know what, honestly, it's really how I feel. Like, you can't set my expectations on what I think about myself when I go on air, when I produce a show, when I write a show. I have to do that. And I have to be really comfortable with that success at the end of the day. And so I think helping people to be able to say, I'm really proud of who I am. I am finding success by my own definition. That's one of the things I'm really interested in. And also teaching our youth, as well as our women and men, but really our youth, understand a skill set that is valuable. And some of those things, you know, as we start to think about self-confidence and self-worth, what are those things that really build those blocks and that foundation for a lifetime of purpose and of success by our own definitions?
I love this. Success based on your own definition. It's once you become self-reliant like that, then you're not waiting for the outside approval. You're not looking for external validation all the time, which is such a healthy way to live your life. And mm-hmm. so few people are able to do that. So that's a really beautiful goal to be able to really help people do that. I love it.
One thing I say as well is blend your talents with your loves for success. So what is it that you're really good at, but also what makes your heart sing and your soul soar? And what you know, your intersection of those two things is really what success is all about. And that's how you find it, is really blending your talents with what you love and what your passions are.
Yes. And also pays money.
Exactly. that's part of that.
Great work. Just doesn't pay the bills. But yeah, very few people really are tuned into their passions and make a living doing what they love. And when you do, it doesn't feel like work. I can tell you from my work, and I'm sure from your work, it's when you know you're changing lives and you're making a difference, I can't wait to wake up in the morning and do the work I do. So it's just, if you can really take the time to do that, it just makes your life just so much better. So let's go to the lightning round. Are you ready?
Oh, I think so.
Okay. First question, fill in the blank. I used to think I wasn't blank enough.
Bold enough. Then I felt, I think I used to think I had to be aggressive. And I was supposed to sort of step out and always jump out and be the first one to answer the question. And I realized I don't have to be that way. I could just be myself, and that's good.
And there's a lot of power in not having to be so loud, you know?
True.
The next question is, what was the number one thing holding you back from becoming a woman of value?
I think initially being younger, it's what we talked about earlier. I didn't necessarily know myself. I didn't know how I showed up in a room in terms of how I thought about things, what my perspective was, and kind of who I was as a young woman. And once I stepped into that and began to gain more self-knowledge, then I think I found my value and my place.
Yes. What is the best advice you can give to a woman who wants to become more empowered?
Drop the excuses and sort of acknowledge immediately that there are some things that are holding you back. And oftentimes those are success blockers that we set up for ourselves. So recognize and acknowledge what those are and face them first and foremost. And then go back to those selves, the self-power, the self-trust, the self-belief, and some of those things that really ultimately give you that inner ability to take action, be intentional about your goals, and move ahead. So I think remembering the selves and keeping them front and center in your life.
Remembering those selves. Mm-hmm. Speaking of
self-trust.
Selves.
Yes,
self-trust is so important. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to your younger self?
That is a tough one. I would say if I knew then what I know now, I would say develop a master plan for your life. That is your body, your brain, and your spirit. Always keep yourself really, really physically, I'll say fit and healthy and active. That's your body. Then your brain, always making sure that you are working your brain, being, you know, reading more, being sort of intellectually stimulated and really working on that component. And then also taking the time to be spiritual, emotionally strong, meditating. That way you don't worry as much. That's one thing I would tell my younger self is stop the worry. You don't have to worry about so much. It's all good. Things will work out. I think those are probably some of the best pieces of advice I would give my younger self.
Body, brain, and spirit. Important combination there.
Mm-hmm. If only we knew that when we were young, right?
Well, we learn, hopefully we learn along the way and we can apply the stuff as we get older. What is something that people often get wrong about you, Christy?
I would say people think maybe they're kind of intimidated by me. And some people have told me, which I don't understand. But I think when I first meet somebody, maybe just being on television and being having some success or some, you know, a little bit of that here and there in my life, people may think that I am different than I appear, if that makes sense. And so when they talk to me, they realize that I am, you know, very open, and I just love hard, and I love to be with people. And so I think initially maybe they think I'm a little more standoffish and might be intimidated to come talk to me, which is like the opposite of who I am. But it's, you know, it's yes. Back to like the, you know, sort of like judging a book by its cover and that whole thing. It's like people aren't, you know, if you don't take the time to get to know somebody, you don't know them. And so it's back to just really taking a moment in our lives to get to know somebody.
Yeah. I mean, I could feel your warmth from the minute you said hello. There was something very warm and open and giving. And I think because you fill yourself up so beautifully that you're able to give without it feeling like a chore. Like it felt like it flowed.
Oh, that's really nice. Thank you.
So finally, Christy, how would you like to be remembered?
Oh boy. And I think that's a really tough question. I probably as someone who gave her all, who cared tremendously for others, who did her best and maybe helped others feel like they were their best too. It's really hard when you say that too, to think about sort of that end of life moment, you know, of like, what's my legacy or what do I want to be remembered as? Because our lives are so filled with so many different components and if you will, and those things that really challenge us. So I think at the end of the day, it's really just being a hard worker, being respectful, being honest, being kind.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that complicated. I think
no, it's not. It doesn't seem like it, but why is it then?
Well, I think it's hard to think about this is the end, but I think that my experience from asking this question over the years on this podcast is that everyone who's answered it is already living their life to this degree, for the most part, like they are already living the life they would like to be remembered for. So I think the integrity piece, the fact that you are every day being intentional about your life and doing the best you can is really who you are. And so this is how you will be remembered.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I love that whole piece of being intentional. And I think as women, we multitask every day. We're doing so much for so many other people that if we can just remember to look at ourselves and to remember our gifts and what we give to others, we will just be living our best lives.
Oh, yes. Well, Christy, this has just been such a wonderful conversation. I would love for you to share one link for people to find you, and I'll have all the other links to social media in the show notes.
Absolutely. So thank you. My website is Christy K. Hoffman. So that's K-R-I-S-T-I, middle initial K, and then Hoffman, Hoffman.com. And that kind of sets the stage for some of the things I'm doing with my television show, my podcast, my book, and some of the events I do for leadership. And then some of the upcoming things for women in terms of really looking at some quests and some thoughts in terms of biohacking our lifestyles and really making them the best that they can be.
Well, go check out Christy's website and all the fabulous things she has on there. And I think this just been so stimulating and inspirational. And I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story and doing what you do to help make the world a better place.
Thank you. And right back at you, you're doing fabulous things as well.
Thank you so much. And to everybody out there listening, thank you so much for listening to the show. Please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It always helps the show to grow even larger and be a woman of value.
If you would like to step more fully into your value, grab a free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Becoming a Woman of Value on my website, thewomanofvalue.com. Just click the link at the top of the homepage. And if you haven't already done so, be sure to click the subscribe button in your listening app. And if there's something in this episode that inspired you, please share it with others. Because the more we share these inspirational stories, the more women of value we will have in this world. I'll see you next time.